Hello, this is La Brava, and I'm very, very honored to welcome everybody here tonight. We have a special, a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. Before I begin with my co-host here, David Kukula, we would like very much to ask Bruce Elijah of the Wolf Clan of the Oneida Nation to please say a blessing. When we traditionally open up our programs, we always like to begin with a prayer. We like to have people focus their mind and their hearts on our message, and that's why we always ask somebody to bless our gatherings.
There's an old African saying that says, as circles begin, so shall they end. So this is just to help remind us how we start our new beginnings, our new adventures, to make sure that we start them in that good way. Because there is the belief amongst us traditional people that they all end the same way that we start them.
Well, while we're waiting, I'd like to let everybody know who we have with us in the studio and on the air tonight. We have Bruce Elijah. He is a healer and a storyteller and a community organizer. He's an Oneida faith keeper of the Wolf Clan. And as a respected elder, he sits with the Elders Council of the Chiefs of Ontario and the Assembly of First Nations. He is a scholar of the Great Law of Peace, the Constitution of the Haudenosaunee people. And he conducts sunrise ceremonies and sweat lodge ceremonies. And our other guest we have is Robert Albee, right here in the studio.
Thank you.
A deeply respected activist in prison reform and rehabilitation, an author and a poet, and the executive director and co-founder of the Inside Circle Foundation, a nonprofit organization dedicated to assisting prison convicts in maximum security, to help them make the changes in their behavior and their emotions and take spiritual responsibility for their lives. His published poetry books are Digging in the Dirt, My Grandfather's House, and A Lion That Catches Fire. And also on the line we will have Sabonfu Somme, a respected author, lecturer, and activist from Burkina Faso. She is one of the foremost voices in African spirituality, and she's the founder of Wisdom Spring Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that uplifts, honors, and preserves the wisdom of indigenous cultures throughout Africa with programs of education and travel. And through this organization, they have fundraisers for wells, schools, economic development, and health projects. She's the author of The Spirit of Intimacy, Welcoming Spirit Home, Falling Out of Grace, and the CD set Women's Wisdom from the Heart of Africa. Also, we have a taped interview with Dennis Banks. Everybody is familiar with him. He's an activist, a teacher, and a freedom walker. He's the co-founder of the American Indian Movement. He's an elder of the Anishinaabe Nation, and he has been an activist for most of his life, fighting for the rights of indigenous peoples. And right now they're doing a walk across the United States for the prevention and education of diabetes. So it's a very serious health issue. So I wanted to welcome everybody. And do we have Bruce on the line? Because I would like everybody to meet my guest host, co-host, David Kukula. You are a shiatsu master, a medicinal herbalist, an author, and a poet. And you have co-authored Roots of Healing, a practitioner's manual to herbal medicine. And you specialize in severe and chronic emotional and physical ailments. And your focus is on the integration of body, mind, heart, and spirit. So also, right now, you are the co-founder of Living Medicines, a healing clinic in Fairfax, California, and a cultural center. Welcome, and how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well. This is a pilot program here at KPFA, and again, as Miguel said, you know, we've been talking about this for, you know, over 10 years, and maybe it's a reminder to me about the need to persevere with your dream. I know in working with a lot of the people who come to see me, and for various reasons, body, mind, heart, and spirit, we always talk about the dream. And what is your dream? Or maybe another way of saying it is, do you have one? Because so many of us have maybe lived a life that's someone else's. And so I'm really honored to be here tonight and to bring this traditional healer's form to our community so that we can further our cause and further my dream.
So, David, can you tell us a little bit about your mission, your goals, what you want to achieve, and how you would like to embrace the healing vision for everybody? Can you talk about how you feel, what's going on?
I suppose as most of us healers, and maybe that's another discussion we need to have, is what is a healer. But for myself, it was my own healing that I needed to embark on. And from that journey in my early 20s of trying to discover how I could find a place of wellness, find a place where I felt good about myself, I started to venture into these different arenas. I started to venture into the arena of body work. And when I was in my 20s, I was, you know, back in the early days of the 70s, you know, that body work was just really starting to come forward along with the cultural revolution that we were living in. And as I continued in my pursuit of wellness, then I knew there was still more that I wanted to garnish. And so then it led me into food as medicine. And then that took me further into wanting to understand vitamins. And so then I got into supplements, and then the herbal medicine followed that. And so then I studied with some medicinal herbalists. And then the last leg was the one of spirituality. And spirituality, I think, for each and every one of us is a very personal issue. And for me, I had to untangle myself from my childhood experiences in regards to being raised a Christian. And I had to find my own belief. I had to find what was true to myself. And in that place, I came into this sense of, oh my goodness, you know, this is the body, mind, heart, spirit. This is what I've been really, you know, reaching for, as almost like that little sapling that's reaching for the gods up in the skies, just wanting to touch some of that warmth maybe that father son's giving him. And so that's how I came into this. And then from that, I Bruce Elijah, one of our honored guests tonight, we met a number of years ago, and we started a nonprofit organization. And we talked about, wouldn't it be something, David, if we could have a traditional healers federation? Wouldn't it be something if we could have a traditional healers forum where we could come from all the different cultures of the world and bring forward this ancient medicine, bring forward these ancient teachings that have proven, you know, their sustainability, and that in this time that we live in, that seems to be the big, you know, catchphrase. Is it sustainable? And if we look back in time, there again, another African saying is that in order to move forward, we have to look backwards. And so I truly believe that our future, not only for ourselves, but also for the children and future generations, has to do with us looking backwards to our traditional ways.
All right. Right now, we will take a little musical break. We hopefully will be able to iron out the technical difficulties and have Bruce be able to maybe say a few words. But right now, we have live music in the house. We have Jeff Zittrain and Ron San Miguel. And so we'll take a little musical break, and we'll be back. ¶¶
mundo now. Porque no engraso los ejes, me llaman abandonado. Y a mí me gusta que suene, pa' que los quiero engrasar. Y a mí me gusta que suene, pa' que los quiero engrasar. Seguir y seguir la huella. Es demasiado aburrido seguir y seguir la huella. Andar y andar los caminos sin nadie que lo entretenga. Andar y andar los caminos sin nadie que lo entretenga. No necesito silencio, yo no tengo en quién pensar. No necesito silencio, yo no tengo en quién pensar. Tenía, pero hace tiempo, ahora ya no tengo más. Pero hace tiempo, ahora ya no tengo más. Porque no engraso los ejes, me llaman abandonado. Engraso los ejes, me llaman abandonado. Y a mí me gusta que suene, pa' que los quiero engrasar. Y a mí me gusta que suene, pa' que los quiero engrasa.
All right. Ron San Miguel, thank you very much for that. Welcome back. This is La Brava, Free Speech Radio, KPFA, and I'm here with my host, David Kukula. We are doing a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. David, before we get on with our next guest, you wanted to read your mission statement, a vision for our audience.
Yes, this traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world, again, is something that, you know, has been in the making for a long time, many years, a decade. And so what I want to share with you is our vision and then our mission, what we're out to accomplish. Our vision is to join with other traditional and indigenous healers from the four corners of the world at an annual gathering to share our traditional healing practices, enhance our ability to meet the needs of our communities and their quest for wellness and a quality life. As traditional healers, we'll remain steadfast, firmly rooted in our loyalty to the most ancient of healing values, to do no harm. We will continue to educate our people on the sacredness of the circle and the interrelationship of the body, mind, heart, and spirit. We'll maintain our commitment to the necessity to keep in balance the four cardinal directions, which includes the self, family, community, and nation. We will explore and discover ways in which we are able to protect our traditional practices and plant medicines from being outlawed or banned. This gathering of traditional and indigenous healers will develop a proclamation to present it to the United Nations that protects traditional healers, our ceremonies, the plant medicines, and other natural medicines we use in our daily healing practices. This annual gathering of healers is in response to the modern dominant culture we live in that has destroyed or ignored our land-based cultures and has dismissed and marginalized the healing wisdom of our ancient traditions.
Thank you. That's very important.
And then from that, as I always say to myself and those who I share my time with, that we need to have a big dream. And that's the big dream. And the mission is that piece that's going to help us accomplish it. The mission of this Traditional Healers Forum is to bring traditional healing to the forefront of our failing profit-oriented healthcare system, and to be recognized by our governments as a legitimate and valued medical practice, thereby giving all peoples freedom of choice in regards to choosing their healthcare providers, whether it is modern allopathic medicine or traditional natural medicine. Quality health care is a birthright. Practiced in our indigenous cultures by traditional healers, and is neither discriminatory nor biased with respect to social economic status. The time is now to bring traditional healers together so that all people can be served and cared for, and that this ancient healing wisdom will be preserved, protected, and accessible for our future generations.
Thank you, David. That is very empowering to know that there are people who want to do that, really believe in that. So, David, tell us a little bit about our guest in the studio. We have Robert Albee, and he does some unique work.
I'm really honored to have Rob here tonight sitting next to me. Him and I have come together many years ago and in our own personal quest for healing, in our own desire to belong to something. I think that's something that we all carry within ourselves that maybe we sidestep. But I think it's an ache that we all carry. And it's hard to find that place of serenity or peacefulness within ourselves as long as that ache or not belonging is still a little thorn in your side. And so I met Rob at a time when we were both looking for that, for something to belong to, and we came together in a community and spent 2 years together in our healing work, following some traditional practices by the Dagger tribe of Burkina Faso. And so then Rob went on to do healing work in the prisons, and I've joined him a number of times there. And I'm just really honored to have you here tonight, Rob, and just grateful for all the work that you're doing for our brothers that are incarcerated.
Thanks for having me. Thanks. I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Yeah. And so with that, you know, there are a lot of issues. As we were talking earlier tonight, Rob, you said we could spend all night on this one question, but I want to bring it up again because a lot of our work is about future generations. You know, in healing yourself, there's a little bit of a self-obsession we've noticed here in this climate of America, where healing the self is a pretty self-oriented journey. But what we believe is that in your healing yourself, then you'll be able to better serve your family and your communities, and you'll be able to provide a place for our children. And so in that regards, I wanted to ask you, Rob, about some. What are some of the preventative measures we need to implement today in order to keep our youth from getting enmeshed in the criminal justice system?
Right. Well, that's like we said, that's a pretty big question, but because there's a lot of information, a lot of background that goes into that. But and as you know, I work with adults. These guys are long since past the point where society has said that they're redeemable. I have a lot of the guys that I work with have life without. They're never going to get out of prison. But when you come to talking about kids, I think that, as you know, in the studies that we've done together and the work that we've done together, it feels more like the breaking or the wounding that happens to human beings happens when it's pretty young. When something happens to the soul, something breaks in the soul, and to try to go back and address some of that becomes awfully difficult. But yet, it's something that we've shown over the years that it can be done. In fact, that the men even that are going to die in prison that they want. So I know that it can be done. It's just that we have to. You know, it seems like a lot of things fall down to money, but, you know, we have to kind of target some of the money that's for resources to help young kids really find out who they are, what really speaks to them. And instead of trying to stuff them through the pegboards that we've created as far as education and how we stuff them all into schools and expect them to produce, try to be more creative about finding out what it is that really serves and feeds the individual kid. And that takes a lot of one-on-one energy.
And you mentioned emotional literacy, and in our traditional language, that's how we call it: body, mind, heart, spirit. The heart is the emotional element, and so when you talk about your work involved with emotional literacy, why don't you help us with or explain some of that to us?
Well, just talking about my own life experience, I remember as a kid that. And I think it happens to boys, but it also happens to girls, too, is that we're told not to feel what we feel. You know, don't cry, you know, don't get mad, don't express yourself. And the trouble with that is that, you know, I found that I need all of my emotions to really be able to confront my life in a balanced way.
Exactly.
And when I've shut one avenue of it down, I really can't address. You know, I may get out of balance and be too angry over small things, or not enough anger when I do need it, or I can't feel joy or sadness or whatever. So a lot of the work that we do is just giving these men the opportunity and the experience to express what they feel in a given moment. And it I know for myself, I had to turn off my tears. I had to stop. I remember hearing my dad saying, "Don't cry. Don't." You know, big voice, don't cry. And so I didn't, and turned it off. And it took a lot of years in order to get that back. And that's primarily what we do with the emotional literacy, is just give men the opportunity to go back and relearn what it feels to respond to life in the present moment, to feel what I'm feeling presently, express it, say what I need to get said, and move on, instead of harboring and carrying all that baggage and having it explode at an inappropriate time.
That really ties into traditional healing, because our work is so webbed into the body, mind, heart, spirit, that the emotional arena that we live in has such a profound on the physical aspect of who we are, has such a profound effect on the spiritual aspect of who we are. Right. So in the absence of emotional literacy, when disease, physical disease, comes upon us, what is that? Or in the absence of emotional literacy, I acted out maybe violently, and then what are the consequences? And so a lot of this, and what I'm hearing you saying, is becoming literate so that you can take responsibility for yourself.
Right.
So you can create your dream.
Right.
And not someone else tell you how your life's going to be.
Right. You know, that story about, you learned it when we were working together, about the way children are brought up in tribal situations, because it speaks to me more about wounds to the soul. That each child is seen as a sacred manifestation of spirit. Each individual, a sacred and unique manifestation of spirit, and they're named accordingly. And oftentimes you'll hear about little children being given a song, and it's kind of a word that we use in the prison to help men to reassociate, reconnect with that part of themselves that is sacred, is to remember their song, that each one of us have a unique and sacred manifestation that we can kind of loosely call our song. When I was in Africa living with the tribe, my teacher said, you know, I kept asking him to give me the translation for, you know, what do you guys call God? And I kept trying to narrow it down, and he didn't really know what I meant, but the closest he could come to it was a word that they use is called Yilbongura, which means the thing that knowledge can't eat. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I stop and try to think about that, my mind just goes, it bends somehow, and I can't quite get there. But it does uniquely say kind of how we have this connection, this sacred, unique connection to the universe, ourselves, of God, however it is, but we can't really talk about it very well, because in our culture we don't really go that way. Mm. But in a lot of other cultures, it's the most important part of their being, in their presence. Sure. Mm.
Could you repeat that again?
The thing that knowledge can't eat. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of hard. When I think about it, I get a little vapor lock. But I think that's the intention of it. Is that it's this? There's this otherness about us that's often difficult to talk about. And so when those between the lack of emotional literacy and our the break that happens to us spiritually, it ends up, in my opinion, in disease and criminality and drug abuse and a whole host of other things.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Maybe we can take a little break here, knowing that what each and every one of us holds within ourselves is something that knowledge can't eat.
That's right.
And we have some more music.
This is a song for peace. It's called Paint Me a Rainbow. It's one of mine. Master Art just paints a picture in the sky tonight for me. Won't you please paint my dream? Give us but a glimpse of the joy that we can find, peace of mind, spirit of love. Guide us, Sister Moon, from the soul that works for pain, till your light with the break of day. May the colors of the rainbow bring us together, and her arch be the bridge that sets us free. And her arch be the bridge that sets us free.
Thank you so much. Well, that was wonderful. This is La Brava, and for those of you just tuning in, this is a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. Special tonight for Earth Day. And David, now we have Bruce on the line. Are you there, Bruce?
We're trying to get Bruce Elijah on the line. Bruce?
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce.
Thank you for being patient.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Welcome to our live program here, Bruce, tonight. You'd be happy to know that you have some dear friends in the audience. There's Carolyn Adams and Dee Simmons. There's Julie Hernandez, Ted Turner, Kay Grana, Katie Simpkin, Noelia Mendoza, Chris Conyers. The list goes on.
Right.
They're all here. They all send blessings to you.
Yeah.
And many fond memories. They're waiting for you to come back. So, Bruce, let's dive right into it. And, you know, I'm really honored to have you on this program. I've always looked up to you ever since we met years ago, and the 10 years that we worked together in creating the healing program, mending the sacred hoops, has been so fundamental in my life and in the way that I helps people. So I think I want to start this this beginning with a big thank you, and I miss you a lot.
Yes, sir.
And so with that, let's talk. You do a lot of work in what I'm going to call the realm of the spiritual, Bruce. And how do you see the traditional medicine different than the modern medicine that most of us experience today? What would you say is the biggest difference in your opinion?
Probably the one that stands out the most is, and I can relate it to, is that take it as I'm home now in healing after an accident on March the 9th. So nothing broken, but old stuff surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandchildren were over the other day from the school that we have. We have an alternative school where we teach our children the culture.
Mm-hmm.
The language. And so they were over, and they ranged from three years old on up, and they all speak the language, and they all did their prayers, and they gave a thanksgiving address to starting from here to the world.
Mm.
And I was just thinking, you know, how many children in this world at this age can do that?
Mm.
We go back to the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we have our language very much intact. And in that language, it talks about the oneness and how we are complete at birth.
Mm.
And from then on, it's our choices and the choices that we're going to make at the end of our journey in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, in that is a lot of, I was born into a family of healers.
Mm.
And so I was exposed to that at a very young age in my life. And so the language was very strong. I'm fluent in not only in my language, but five other languages of our culture. So what that does for me is that I never went to school for that. I was surrounded by elders, and I just listened. And by listening, I learned. And so one of the things that we did see, that I seen, was throughout the seasons, we have the four seasons here, and when people came, however way people were coming to us when they were sick. Some of them were carried on in, and some of them were brought on by sleds and stretchers. And those people stayed with our family from anywhere from a few days, a few weeks, to a few months. And about the longest that they would stay would be about 6 months. And I remember that when people left, not only could they walk, but they were also able to be laughing. And they were happy. And they were content. And so when you achieve that, and that's putting all of it together, the mind and the spiritual part of that we exist, we still exist in the way that the Creator put us here, is that it's not a government and it's not a ministry of anything to tell us who we are to be and what we are. Is that we're already, you know, we already are who we are. And no one can ever take that away from us. And so throughout my life, that's what it has been. And I love to see the little babies, you know, and whether they're crying or whether they're, you know, whether they're happy and laughing, then that brings joy to me, because they will never know what hunger is. And they will never know what it is not to be taken care of. And so we take care of that. I make it my business to find out that no one ever grows hungry. And so we grow our own foods, and that's where we begin to see that the medicines that we've had and we've always had is that there's some, you know, that's the one thing that we have the history to prove that, was that they said that they never found one person hungry or in need of help. We saw to it that that was our role, was to take care of each other. And so that's what makes me happy, is that I can do that. I can put myself in a direction of helping someone. And if it's to bring a little smile to their face, then I know I've done my work, my part of life. And so in a community of where I live in, is that we still have that.
Yeah, it's a community.
And it's a place where you can take your watch off and throw it away, because it doesn't matter what time it is. And it's also a place where it doesn't matter what day it is, whether it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Saturday. It doesn't matter. You know, it's every day is a beautiful day, and every day is a good day.
And so with that, Bruce, you know, again, the those beautiful words you have to share with us always touching the depth of my heart, and reminding me and reminding all of us here that it takes a community to be well. It takes
a community
to thrive.
Yeah.
It takes a community of wholeness in order for us to have a future.
Yep.
And with that, we're going to take a small little break. Brother Rob's going to do some poetry, and then Bruce, stay on the line. We'd like to bring you back in and continue on with this conversation. So just hang in there.
So I'd like to do, we were talking about community and that space the community holds for us, and I'd like to do a Mary Oliver poem. I love her sense of wholeness. And Mary Oliver, she says, "You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me your despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. I've always really appreciated that, because that's it talks about that we all have a place, you know, in the community, and that that healing is about finding out what that place looks like for each one of us.
Thank you.
That was wonderful. That was really wonderful. For those of you who are just tuning in, this is a special edition of La Onda, and we are having a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. David Kukula is my guest host, co-host, and we are speaking to Bruce Elijah from the Oneida Nation.
Yeah, so welcome back, Bruce.
Yeah.
And so let's take this another step, and let's go into traditional healing, and how do you see it as far as giving people some ways to which to deal with what they're suffering from in today's world?
Yes. So with that, what's happening now is that we're finding out that a lot of the sickness and the diseases that have come to us, because prior to 1930, no one never died of cancer. No one never died, you know, had any problems with diabetes. And it's all to the foods that we eat. So it's amazing, because we got people that no longer have diabetes. And we've got people that no longer have cancer. And it's because I chose to go in the direction of what is our old medicines. And so that's in the direction that that is happening with us and happening around here. And it's a wonderful thing to see that there is something that we can do, and I don't need anybody's permission to be of help to anybody, which is what I want to do, is to be able to, no matter who it is that I meet, that we can talk about family, and because that's what it's all about, is family. And so when you come to that body, mind, and spirit as into one, the one thing that I know is that as an individual, is that if I can go back 20 generations back, is that I represent about 1 million people. And I do know that 20 generations from now, is that that's also another 1 million people. So I'm going to have an impact. Somewhere along in that line, I'm going to have an impact. And I hope that I can show my peoples and that we have our own medicines.
So do you, in that place then, Bruce, do you see as maybe one of the weak links in modern culture is that weak link to the ancestors?
Yes, it is. Definitely, for sure, because if you... When I do counseling with outside our circle back at home, is that a lot of them don't know their grandmothers. And a lot of them don't even have grandmothers or grandfathers or grandparents. And so I was fortunate to have so many. And so I want my grandchildren to know who I am and who their grandpa is and how much I care about them. And then when we do that, we deal with the truth and honesty, so that it's never going to be, you know, that's what I always tell them, and I've taught my children, father of 11, six boys and five girls, is that I always tell them, I says, when they were young, I taught them how to be truthful to me or with me. And so that's a very honorable thing today, and I feel good about it. I feel good about life. And I guess that's something that I can say, is that every day is a wonderful day for me. And every moment of my life, it gives me, you know, to see what else can I do, you know. And so it brings content, and I'm happy with my life as it is. And I know that I wish that I could do more. And it gives me an opportunity at this point in time to say that, you know, we still have it.
And in that place of the ancestors, Bruce, and the importance they have in each one of our lives, you know, in our working togethers, and even as I continue on today, how many times I work with clients that come to see me and I mention ancestors to them, and more times than not, I hear the response, well, I don't even know who they are, or which ones, I'm a mutt.
Yeah.
And so what would you say to the mutts of the world?
Yeah, oh my goodness, you know, is that, you know, when you can, if we have, we got to believe in something. And so that something is to be proud of your heritage. And so I got no problem with seven generations back with on my mother's side and seven generations back on my father's side. And it gives me an opportunity, and in my life, that I took care of my grandparents. Never put them in a hospital, or never put them in a people's home, senior citizens' home. We took care of them. I took care of them. And it was a wonderful experience. And so I, like I say, when I can do that, then I know that I fit in. I fit into, and see, that's what we all do, is that where do we fit in? And how do we fit in? And so on this one, it's very peaceful. And so we come from a culture called the Great Law of Peace. And boy, do I know what that is. I wouldn't trade that for anything, because you can't buy that. Nor can you sell it. Or I guess you can, but I choose to keep mine.
And
so it's, like I said, I'm very content in my life, and I enjoy life on all levels. And so it leaves the door open for everybody to feel safe and to feel good. And within the sound of my voice is that, you know, I always tell people, I says, you know, you're going to be safe with me, because I'll see to it that no harm comes to you. I know what it is to provide, and I know what it is to protect. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so wonderful. It's always been a good experience in knowing the people and who I've met. And it was always a very interesting and a happy, you know, addition to what already is happening in our lives.
In tying into that, Bruce, you've touched some really profound pieces. One is being the ancestors and proud of heritage. And I wonder how many of us can say that or even know what our heritage is. Maybe that's a good starting point for a lot of us on the healing journey, because again, now we're taking it beyond the body, the mind, and the heart. Now we're talking spiritually, because we believe in a traditional way. Our heritage is just who we are. We're standing on the shoulders of our ancestors.
That's right.
And then from that place, in the traditional ways, we say who I am is defined by my name, my spirit name, my clan, and my people.
Yep.
And how many of us today in this modern culture can tell me your name, your spirit name, your clan, and your people. My name is David Adolphe Kukla. My spirit name is Zuma Sob, means one who carries the burden of intuition. My clan are the Wolf and the Blue Jay. My people are the Sami, the children of the wind and sun. This is who I am.
Yep.
I am proud of my heritage. This is who I am.
Yep.
And this is a direction that we want to take people in this modern day, because there's so few of us that can say that. And it's in that place that pain lives. There's nothing that can replace that pain unless you can name yourself, unless you can claim your ancestry, your heritage, be proud of who you are. Mm-hmm. And it's in there. It's in your bones.
Yep.
Who you are is in your bones.
So part of that is looking at the environment and everything around us, and we can all agree, or we can say and put our minds together, is that Mother Earth needs healing.
Mm.
And we all can do our part with that. And so that's what I do every day, several times a day, is give prayers. Not only to people, but, you know, with what's happening, you know, throughout the world, is that I can bring prayers to that. And wishing people well, to know who they are. And how important it is for us that we do have a responsibility. And our responsibility is to make sure that everything of nature, whether it be the four-legged or whether it be the plant life, the air, the water, is that we need that. And for the future generations. And I'm looking for 7 generations ahead and make sure that everybody's going to be happy and everybody's going to be good. And I feel good about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need no permission from anybody to do that.
That's right.
Yeah. So,
in that spiritual belief, then, in the traditional ways, what I'm hearing you say, Bruce, is that you see spirit in all of things. You see spirit in water. You see spirit in the air. There's spirit in a stone. There's spirit in the chairs that we're sitting on.
Yeah.
And how is it that I can awaken myself enough so that I can respect that? And how dare I, as we say in Montana, piss in the stream?
Yep. And in all of those, I have songs for everything that I have learned. So there are many songs, and there are the prayers last a long time. So, and I love it that I can do that.
Thank you very, very much for your words. We're very, very grateful. We're going to go and do a little, take a break and think about these words. It's almost time for Station ID, and we have some music. And we have Rob, some spoken word.
I want to tell a story because it reminded me when we were hearing Bruce. And just as a way of finding out who we are, when we first started doing the work in the prison, we encouraged men who didn't know each other to just tell the truth of who they were. And sometimes they could only speak their name. In one of the circles, we asked the men to say what their children's names were and their mother and father's name were. And they didn't want to, and they didn't understand why we were doing it. But at the end of it, a man said, "You know what? Knowing your mom and dad's name and your kid's name is going to make it harder to stab you if I have to." And these are men who've done some horrible things, but it showed me that just a small act of knowing each other's names, we don't really do that. We do. How many of us really know our neighbors? The people who live around us and their kids' names and their parents' names. So part of that is about just finding out who we really are and just knowing that everyone's mother and father is just as precious to them and their kids. And understanding that. So that's made a difference for me.
Thank you. That's very, very important to be able to honor your family and feel like you're connected to them. And thank you for the music. You're listening to KPFA. This is La Brava, and we have a special program on La Onda, a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. And now, David, let us know who we have up next.
Thank you, La Brava. What we have next is an interview that I've done earlier in the week with Dennis Banks, Leech Lake Tribe Anishinaabe. And so we're going to be listening to a pre-recorded interview I did with him.
This is David Kukla at KPFA, and I have on the telephone Dennis Banks from the American Indian Movement's Longest Walk. Welcome, Dennis. How's the walk going?
It's going very good, David. It's very good. Right now we've covered over 2,400 miles. We're in our 61st day, and we are in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh,
going very good.
Wonderful. And I know this longest walk's been dedicated to a real special cause. You want to tell us about that?
Yes, it's called Reversing Diabetes. I'm a diabetic. I was diagnosed at 2 years ago. And when I first heard the news, of course, I was really depressed because it's like a kiss of death. And I began to read all I could about diabetes and what it does to the system, what it does to our bodies. And I felt, wow, this is something that I better change, because I don't want to go the route of a diabetic and going into dialysis and then amputation.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, this is what I want to do. So I went to a program called Reversing Diabetes in Patagonia, Arizona, and when I entered the program, the 3-week program, my glucose reading was 305. After 1 week, the very first week that I was there, of drinking nothing but juice from 9 vegetables, my glucose came down from 305 to 95. And then for the next, I lost 19 pounds. And then I went from the next 2 weeks, I ate nothing but fresh vegetables, not cooked, raw vegetables. And I gained I lost 30 pounds total in those 3 weeks. And the glucose was stabilized. I would eat, then I would check my blood. It would be like 120, and I would check it about 15 minutes later. And it would be like back down to 94, 100.
And so
mm-hmm. I stayed there, then I decided that's what I want to do then. I checked about how many diabetics are there in Indian country,
mm-hmm.
and I found out, the IHS is saying there's 12 to 15% of our people are diabetics. But now that I've been through Indian country talking only about the diabetes in their country, I now believe that the figure is probably between 50 and 55, 60% of our people are diabetics.
And so on this longest walk, Dennis, you're going from one reservation to the next. Then on each reservation, is there sort of a health forum using traditional values, traditional ways, and the way to deal with this modern disease?
Yes, I have. We've gone through 42 villages right now, villages and native communities. We stop and talk to the wellness programs, the diabetes programs, and there we find out what each community is doing. And I would say probably there's two areas that I'm very concerned about, which we're finding out. One of them is that a lot of people are developing their own gardens. They're starting small gardens, but big enough to take care of them at first. One person started real small. Now he's got about a whole acre that he's doing on fresh vegetables. The other part is the wellness program itself, is the exercising programs, the walking, the running events. And I think that's key to, of course, the other equation, of course, is eating a balanced diet. So much proteins, carbohydrates, and vegetables. And that's what I see is the major part of reversing diabetes. I'm talking about type 2 diabetes. Type 1 is a little more complicated, and I don't know. I know that it, sometimes you can't reverse it. But type 2, a lot of our people, many, many deaths and many, many amputations. it just ruined the quality of our life. So I think once a person realizes that the quality of their life is being destroyed, then they will change their diet, they will change their exercise program, and start doing something to really, you know, regain that quality.
The traditional healers forum that we have going here at KPFA, bringing in traditional healers from the four corners of the world, are emphasizing the body, mind, heart, spirit connection and our walk for wellness. In regards to your diabetes, are there certain, using that paradigm of the body, mind, heart, spirit, is that being integrated into this walk, Dennis, or how do you plan?
Absolutely, absolutely. Matter of fact, we're all the wellness programs are, they have sweat lodges connected to the programs. They have walking every morning, every afternoon. They have jogging. A lot of wellness, and then spirituality. Of course, spiritual part of it is all integrated into it. It's just to me, it's a good. I see a lot of that, and I'm very enthused about it. And but the other thing too is that. A lot of IHS and American Medical Association, they're emphasizing, you know, staying on medication, keep your medication, take your medication. They don't really depart from that kind of message. For instance, even in my own case, the doctor that I have in Minnesota, she said, when I asked her about alternative ways for her to fight diabetes, and she, you know, really snapped back at me. She said, I'm here to administer medication. I'm not here to talk philosophy. So they're pushing the medication and not offering, you know, the alternative way to fight diabetes. Of course, that is, you know, lowering your cholesterol and helping your pancreas. Those are the areas that IHS doctors, they have to begin to realize that the traditional way, the traditional foods that we ate, those are the things that we can do to start growing, harvesting, and eating to combat and reverse diabetes.
Yeah. I think you brought up a good point there, Dennis, in regards to the current AMA structure, not interested in the philosophy, but in medication. Mm-hmm. Whereas from that traditional perspective, again, from the different indigenous cultures, health is a way of life. It includes philosophy, includes the emotional, it includes the psychological. So all these different branches are considered to be a part of the whole. And so that I think it's really wonderful that you're bringing in this spiritual emotional aspect into it. And just maybe for some of the listeners in our audience, maybe you could share a little bit about a sweat lodge, because many cultures, maybe in Sami, we have the sauna, and how do you utilize that sweat lodge in the healing, Dennis?
Well, a sweat lodge is used, of course, for emotional, mental, and spiritual guidance, and for strengthening the mind, strengthening the body. It's a religious spiritual ceremony, which lasts about an hour, hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours at the most. And there are some sweats that go 4 or 5 hours. They'll go in at midnight and they'll come out at about 6 o'clock in the morning. But you come out during those 4 hours. You come out and you don't stay in there, you know, solid 5-6 hours. It's used in connection with not in connection, but it's used to help bring out a mental problem that you might have, or an emotional problem that you might be having at home, and then you start dealing with it, talk a little bit more about it, and finally arrive at some sort of course of action between you and the spiritual leader that's developing, running the sweat. So I think along with that, you know, of course there's a traditional meal after all of that, in our case up north where we have a lot of wild rice is good. Berries, we have a lot of berries with it, and a lot of roots and stuff like that. That we, and with the buffalo elk and deer that we serve with the wild rice. I think traditional foods is probably the best way that we can use to reverse diabetes with foods. Food is medicine. I mean, that's we live in the world's best food supply in the world, but yet from that comes the world's worst diet. America's participating in the world's worst diet, and we do that. Our children are doing it. We have the Cokes and Gatorade, and not so much Gatorade, but the soft drinks. And I don't know why we call them soft drinks. There's nothing soft about them, especially when I see them, you know, take a penny and you put it in a Coke for a week, and it'll practically disappear. The penny will. So we have to keep our kids away from that. And so, our children, mm-hmm. And get back to our traditional ways.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, do you believe that the high incidence of diabetes that's now being experienced not only in your communities but actually throughout the United States and the world is due to the white flour, the white sugar, the white lard that has been so overly processed and put into everybody's food these days?
That's absolutely. I believe that. And actually, all of the wellness program people that we, in all of the 42 villages that we've come across, they're saying the same thing, identical things. They've never met each other, but they're saying the same thing. And also different languages that we've come through. That's one of the remarkable things on this voyage, village that we're on right now, our voyage, this journey, is that we've come through these 42 villages and almost hearing 30 separate languages saying the same thing. And that's what I feel really great for me, is to hear all these languages talking about wellness in the body and the mind and the soul and the spirit, and a lot of talk about they mentioned in a different language. You hear McDonald's and you hear KFC, you hear that Wendy's, you hear all these fast food restaurants coming out and while they're praying and are mentioning it in their languages. So they're pointing it. They're pointing it to the fast foods, to the white flour, to the white sugar, white salt, white lard. It is ruining and destroying our pancreas and our kidneys. So that's...
I suppose you could say, Dennis, we've been whitewashed.
Yeah, really whitewashing going on there.
I think we better throw away the bleach.
Yeah. Well, David, listen, I want to stay on, but I would like to join you again. Keep me, and I'll somehow keep you posted of our trip. It's dirty. We're in Tulsa, Oklahoma right now.
That'd be wonderful, Dennis. We have our next program will be aired in about 3 months, end of July. We'd love to have you live here in the studio and share your wisdom and your experience with our community.
Oh, good. I'll have all the facts of our 5 month journey with me, and we're going to be preparing it for everybody to use it wherever they go.
So thank you for your time and continued commitment to building a new world utilizing ancient tools, Dennis.
That's right.
Do you have any last words for tonight's audience?
Oh, just, really, really consider the diet that we're on, and participating in it, and try to make a change in your life. And by start easing away, even in Indian country, we're saying that fry bread, which was everybody's been doing for the last, 30, 40 years, even that is being cut back. All the places that we've been going, we've been calling them ahead and saying we want any fried foods, and they are finding vegetables upon vegetables upon vegetables, and we are getting a good diet on this walk with the people that the advanced people that work in the wellness centers, and they really, really, those people that work in wellness centers for the native people, they're doing an excellent job. So, and actually, any trainer will probably say the same thing about this diet that we're on. Thank you very much, David.
Yeah, well, we send you our prayers, our blessings. Keep up the good work, Dennis.
All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
All right. That was Dennis Banks, all the way from, where is he now?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. We see some positive changes. Oh, but no more fry bread. I guess it's a sacrifice we're going to have to make. And up next, we have a poem by our guest, Rob Elby. And we also have our musician, Ron San Miguel, and doing some of the background ambiance.
I'm going to lead this. Dennis makes a great point that it seems like the traditional the modern medicine, their snap reaction to almost everything is to give us a pill, you know. And I think that speaks to kind of the place where we've culturally and collectively have got ourselves stuck, is that we're kind of always given this message not to feel. Not to feel. And then if I do feel, then I take a pill or I self-medicate or I do something so as not to feel. But what I choose to believe and what we've come to learn in this work is that my responses, no matter what I feel, are trying to teach me something always. They're trying to teach me something, whether it's anger or sadness. They're constantly trying to teach me something, and that my job is to try to stay as awake as I can. And that when I can do that, then I can learn what balance really feels like. I know that oftentimes in the past I've told myself that feeling fear was wrong, that I should teach myself as a man not to feel fear. But what I've come to believe is that, you know, the absence of fear is not courage. The absence of fear means something is broken. You know, something I've over-medicated or something. The absence of fear means that something is wrong. Courage is feeling the fear and moving ahead anyway, feeling the fear fully. If I don't feel fear, how am I going to know that there's a lion about to attack? You know, how am I going to know that I'm going to step in front of a car if I just choose not to feel fear? So a lot of the work that we've done to find healing and wholeness in the prison is to give men the opportunity to feel fully, as I've said before. And this piece, it's kind of a longer piece, but it was written by Jimmy Santiago Baca, who was also a prison poet, and he wrote this many years ago. And it talks about crying. As little boys, we're taught not to cry. So just bear with us, see if I can get through this. Jimmy says, "For the longest time, I haven't been able to cry. Tears start to come while I'm watching a movie. The tears start coming, swelling my whole body like a closed tulip, suddenly starting to open under the moon. But then the petals of my eyelids stiffen, and something in me braces, and I don't cry. And when we crashed into a telephone pole, and my dad ordered me not to cry, I was terrified, almost killed. But don't cry, he said. I couldn't cry because men don't cry. And when the dog bit me on the leg, I couldn't cry. And when Joy died, I couldn't cry. And how cool it would feel to have a tear slide from the corner of my eye on my cheek, following the curve to my mouth where I'd lick its taste, my salt, but I don't cry. And you know, I love the color blue and I love the color brown, and I'd love to touch my chapped cheeks, my bruised face, my frightened shoulders, and whisper in tears my compassion, but I've always had to stop it up in me, to hold my breath back, keep my mouth shut, my hands tight so as not to cry. But man, when I cry, it's alive. Though I embrace my brother and pray on his shoulder, shoulder to shoulder, and I want to kneel and kiss the earth, and if I could cry, just thinking of me not crying all these years makes me want to cry right now. But I've been taught not to cry because big people don't cry. And people say, hey, ain't those alligator tears, boy? You ain't fooling me with those tears. But I ain't fooling nobody by not crying. And need to get my tears back, I'm crying till there ain't a single tear left. I'm crying for what we've been through not crying, how we fooled ourselves thinking men don't cry. Man, let me cry again. And all you dry-cheeked, nut-cracking ball-whackers don't want to get your Rambo bone-breaking boots wet, step aside. Because I hated goodbyes all my life. Those were crying events. I felt myself saying goodbye to my grandma, to my brother, to my friends, to my neighborhood, to all the familiar faces from my teachers, to my girlfriends and other friends, and I never shed a tear. Even though I felt them coming up in me, I bit down hard to hold the tears back. I lowered my face and thought of something else, and I kept hearing this voice in me, hundreds of voices in me, all screaming for me not to cry. Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, because big boys don't cry. You're going to leave yourself open. You're going to leave yourself liable if you cry. And I hurt when I didn't cry. All those times I didn't cry in front of people, too ashamed to cry, too fearful others would see me and think me not a man, too fearful I'd be made fun of. And I just heard some terrible news or some terrible tragedy. And I can't cry because it ain't right to cry. And man, I'm telling you, I need to weep. Each man crying because his daughter has died. because we've been too long not crying, because our fists are tired from being clenched and our faces just might break off. We need to cry all those goodbyes out and get up in the middle of the night and cry. And we need to cry for no good reason but to cry. For all those we never cried for, we need to cry just to get our wings fluttering again. Cry through the rainbow of our emotions. Cry for those in the prison cells. Cry for the field worker's daughter eaten by cancer from pesticides. And cry for those thousands who lost their homes because they couldn't afford to pay their mortgages, and those sleeping under the bridges, and the hopeless. And I moan for the world and all those who need our tears, and stop talking politics and integrity and who's right and who's wrong. And let's just cry down into a big lake where we can cleanse all the goodbyes and our apathy out. Come on, let's cry and cry and cry and cry and cry the blues away and cry and cry. And let papas cry for their children, and let children cry in my arms, and let women cry in my arms, and let men cry in my arms, and let my brothers cry in my arms, and let my sister cry in my arms. And let's all cry and cry and cry because we've been abused and abused them for too long. And after lovemaking and fighting, let's cry and make a cry of prayer and give us a new language made of whimpers and sniffles and sobs. And let us cry again and hope for his grandfather and hope for his mother. Hope for his grandfather. Hope for his grandmother. Oh, cry out loud again. Help us. Teach us. Cry louder. Come on, cry, baby. Cry louder. Cry. 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 Cry.
Thank you so much for that. I think we should take a minute and maybe cry, and sniffle, and then get back to our program. Thank you so very much. And also I want to thank our musician for that. So much for lightening up the mood, but it's true, there's some things you cannot mess with, and that is food. Well, for those of you who have been tuned in and hanging in there with us, this is a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. We have Bruce, Elijah on the line, and David here in the house. And David, I have a question, a very important question. Now, I'd like to know why we as world citizens have turned our backs on the traditional medicines and ways of healing and only think of it as an alternative.
I run into week after week people coming in to see me wanting alternative medicine. And I say to them, since when is this the alternative? This is not alternative medicine. This is the traditional way that we lived as a people. This is the way that we took care of each other with respect. This is the way we took care of our Mother Earth. This is the traditional way. We're not an alternative. Alternative is modern allopathic medicine. That's the alternative. That's the new medicine. It's just been here a short while. Traditional medicine's been here for thousands of years. And it is the one that has brought us here to this very point in time, and it's going to be the one that's going to carry us into the future. And so that alternative, we are not. Integrative, another one I hear, we are not. We are traditional. Our ways cannot integrate into modern medicine. Modern medicine does not believe in spirit. We do. Our foundation is spirituality. Our foundation is our ancestors and our heritage, and proud of who we are as a peoples. We are not an alternative. We are not integrative. We are not complementary. We are traditional. We have our ways, and they've been proven to be successful since the beginning of time. And in our first and foremost, we could say, oath, we do no harm. We do not experiment on people. We do not give medications. We do not give plant medicines to people, knowing that it can create some harm. It's against who we are as a people. We give medicines. We give plant medicines that we know will bring balance to your body, not take away symptoms. We do not treat symptoms. We do not cure. I do not heal. You heal yourself. We have to remember each and every one of us has the wisdom. As Bruce was talking about earlier, we have everything within ourselves to heal. I can give you some tools. You could call me a tool maker. That's all I do. People say you're a shaman. I'm not a shaman. I'm a human being, just like you. My service is to give you some tools so that you have a better life. My job is to be a service and to contribute to mankind so that our children have a good place to live. My grandchildren have some clean water to drink. I can take them to the creeks up in Montana where I was raised, and they can eat those fish from the streams that I fish from. Today, my grandchildren cannot fish in those streams because they've been polluted. Something is wrong. We have to dream. I talked to my brother John. You have to dream. You have to have a big dream, but you have to be honest about the current reality. We have to be honest about what we're living in. And then our dream can become true. We have to open our eyes to the truth of where we are so that we can build and create this new world. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that's something we need to think about. Is Bruce there on the line still? Bruce?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Have you been listening to us?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
And it's pleasant. Yes.
So what do you think? Do you have an idea why we as world citizens would turn our backs on something that's always been there for us in order to embrace something new and maybe a novelty? Do you have anything you'd like to say? Would you like to address this issue?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is what we're doing tomorrow. Is that we're celebrating spring. And part of how we do that is take all of what is life, what water gives to life, is that we can't live without water. And there's nothing that can live without water. So one of the celebrations that we have is the Thunder Beings. We are acknowledging the Thunder Beings. And so we're going to be acknowledging all of the female species of life. So how we do that is we sing for the women. And tomorrow, it's anywhere from 1,500 to about 2,000 women are going to be dancing. And all the men of our nations are going to be singing for them. And that's what we've always done every year. And that's what we continue to do. So I feel real good because that is what we're going to do. And when the women are happy, so am I. So I really want to thank you all for allowing me to be a part of this. And I know we need more of this to be reminded that, you know, we can be any one of us. Just like in a story that was just told about tears. With me, I cry all the time. Because I also cry for joy. And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm just so happy to be a part of this life.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. I'd like to ask if you could stay on the line, because we wanted you to open up with a prayer, and since that didn't work, if you could stay on the line and help us maybe close with a little blessing, that would be really wonderful.
Okay.
In about maybe a half hour, a little less than that.
Sure.
So
will do.
Stay tuned and stay with us then.
All right.
So this has been a wonderful experience. This is the first Healers Forum from the Four Corners of the World that we have done here at La Onda. It's something that has been a long time in the making and really long overdue. I think when we talk about healing, I think we're talking about restoring a fundamental balance to the world, to ourselves, to our society. And now we have something really fun. We're going to take questions from the audience. So we do have a studio audience, and we have listeners calling in. So I see somebody wants to start with a question.
Can we get a microphone, please?
We have somebody, a question for David in the audience. Come up and what's your name?
My name's John.
John, thank you for being here. You have a question for David.
I do have a question for David. I've enjoyed the program so far, so thank you very much. My question was, with what your dream comment was, you know, before you can create and push toward that big dream, you said you got to, you know, realize reality that's in front of you. If you could kind of touch on that a little bit more than surface.
There's one is the dream, and it has yet to be realized for you, and so it's future. Current reality is present. Where am I right now? I have a rotten job. I have a good job. Wherever you are in your current situation, it's being brutally honest about that current reality. So that there's a natural tension between this current reality and the future. That tension is life force itself that's necessary to take you into the future. And so a lot of times we resist the current reality because we feel the discomfort. And this world, this modern society is built on comfort, not discomfort. Matter of fact, anytime you're uncomfortable, there must be something wrong with you. And I say to you, no. When people come to me with ailments, with diseases, I just had someone the other day, emergency client. I told her, I said, I want you to make friends with that pain that you're experiencing right now. I want you to join it and stop resisting it. Be on it. Go into it. Feel it. Feel all of it. As Bruce, or as Rob was saying, feel the all of the all. Open. Create vulnerability. Take away those guards, all those shields that we walk around every day with. You know, Bruce and I, in a lot of our healing work, the steel plates we have to pull off of people in the ceremonies, the guarding, the armoring, because of the betrayals, because of the wounds. But in order to really blossom, to be in this world in a good way, as Bruce was saying, to be able to say, I enjoy this life, those walls, that armoring has to come off. And it's not always pleasant. It hurts. And sometimes it takes a whole lot of crying.
You know, let me jump in here, because D.H. Lawrence says exactly what you were saying. He says, I am not a mechanism, an assembly of various sections. And it is not because the mechanism is working wrongly that I am ill. I am ill because of wounds to the soul, to the deep emotional self. And the wounds to the soul can take a long, long time. Only time and patience can help. And a certain difficult repentance, long, difficult repentance, realization of life's mistake, and the freeing oneself from the endless repetition of the mistake which mankind at large has chosen to sanctify. It speaks to that same openness about really, really facing what the truth is about my life.
So, David, what you're really saying is sometimes in order to build, you almost need to destroy first in some way.
You have to, I don't know if it means destroy, but it means you have to fall into whatever it is that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going bankrupt, you're going bankrupt. There ain't no prosperity there. And so it's about falling into the truth of your current reality. And it's from that place energies can transform, you can transcend. But you first have to go to that place and have to come out of that denial, that thing that modern psychology calls denial. And how many of us have been raised in such a way that we've been able to walk with that kind of awareness and that kind of consciousness? Where are we taught that? In the old days, that's what taught in the schools. That's what the grandmas and the grandpas teach you. We teach our children reading, writing, and arithmetic. How many of you have been told how to live a good life? How many of you have been given tools to how to be in a healthy relationship? Where have you learned any of this? Where have you learned how to be okay with a dream? Matter of fact, not only be okay, but we want every one of you here to dream. And we're here to help you. And we're going to stand behind you as you walk towards it. Because we know it's a win-win for all of us.
Yeah. You know, David, that reminds me of that when we talked earlier about each human being in the tribe finding out what their song was. As each person in the tribe finds their song at birth, they're singing their song. And at all the important events in their life, they're sang, whether it's their wedding or their initiation. But each one of us are told how sacred. And so they're constantly reminded by everybody in the community who they are in their essence. How many of us, when we were little, had even one person that saw us as uniquely sacred and supported that in us every day? Mm-hmm. How many of us had one or two, maybe? It's real rare.
Thank you. We do have audience calling in with their questions, and the number. Is everybody listening? It's 848-4425. That's area code 510. That is the on-air studio. 510-848-4425. Those of you listening maybe have some questions for Ron or David or even Bruce. We'd like to know what you think of this program and what you think the needs are of the world right now. So call in, 510-848-4425. So I have some more questions. Does anybody here in the audience have any more questions? You do. Come on up then. What's your name?
Cayenne.
Cayenne.
Thank you so much for talking about food, all of everything you're talking about, but to talk about food, I'm really would like to hear from everybody about how to bring that message of being in right relation with the earth, with our food, and getting back to tradition with our food, and healing our people who are, you know, like huge numbers of diabetes incidents, and yeah, just how to carry that message and close the gap between the kind of elite foodie farmers market and, you know, bringing food and build and having urban farms and giving recipes out and that kind of thing, just like practical things to bring that message.
Maybe the first thing I'd like to say, Cayenne, is that when we start praying before we eat, when we start giving gratitude for the food that's on our table, and we start welcoming the spirit of that plant or that animal or that water, then we're going to begin to start healing. If we start healing just because of the kind of foods I eat, we're going to end up in the same place we are right now. And so that we have to come to that place where we can acknowledge the spirit in all of life and give gratitude. When we give gratitude to the all of life, we will treat it differently, because we'll see it as my mother, as my father, as my brother, as my sister. And so it begins again from that traditional value of that prayer, that offering, that giving of yourself and saying, thank you. Thank you for feeding me. Come, give me what you need. It's been proven that if you drink, if you say a prayer to that water spirit before you drink, you only need a little bit of water, and she'll give you all that you need. We use that in when we do our fasting and when we do our vision quest. We'll tell people, make sure you say that prayer, so that when you drink that water, you just need a little bit. It can even be your saliva. The saliva is sacred. Science has proven the fact that actually the saliva is probably the most powerful digestive enzyme in our bodies.
So we have somebody at the phone right now. Juan Ibarra, are you there, Juan?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you so much.
Oh, you have a question for David?
No, more than a question, I just want to reiterate how important it is to have this kind of shows. I'm a brain cancer survivor, and if it's not for David Kukola and his wonderful vision of health and healing that brings together community, I don't know where I will be right now. So my gratitude to David, because I know that what he is doing is so important for the community, is to go against the mechanization and the industrialization of food, where processed food is not giving the right medicine to the people. And when we pray and when we hold our hands and our hearts in the name of the spirit and in the name of the interconnectedness in life, then we are on the side of the healing path. But if we continue turning our backs to the healing path, we are going to end up worse than now. So my gratitude again, David, and your wonderful path as a healer, as a human being, as a teacher and a mentor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Juan.
Yes,
good to hear those kind words.
And that is very, very good to know, that people are aware of your contributions, David, and that it is possible to survive and heal and recover from a disease as serious as cancer. Do we have any more questions from the audience? Come on up. What's your name?
Laura.
Laura.
I love how you're describing that you fall into the difficult, the painful emotions. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that And specifically, you were referring to it as part of the life force.
Yeah, there was, you know, those places that I resisted in my life, it seemed like they ended up coming back to bite me all the time. That when I was giving myself permission to, when I finally chose to give myself permission to feel what I felt, as David said, it wasn't always pretty. It was hard. Ex-addict, ex-convict, the choices I made earlier in life were not the brightest, but at the time it certainly made a lot of sense. But when I had to go back and, when I chose to go back and look at some of those things and find out that I didn't have the life that I wanted, I ended up basically alone, broken in many, many ways. I had to turn and face the truth of all of what that was. So it's not often pretty, but it was a place for me to finally say, this really is who I am, to take inventory of what that is, and begin to make realistic choices about how I wanted to proceed in a truthful way. And it seems to be balanced with, you know, we talk an awful lot about spirit. There's an old saying about trust God, but tie your camel. So they kind of go they kind of go hand in hand. When I was in Africa, I got really, really sick, and as it turns out, I had typhoid and malaria at the same time. And I was days and days and days away from the hospital. The car that I had gotten there in was gone. They had gone back to the capital city, and I got really sick. And to make a long story shorter, I almost thought that I was going to pass, that I was unable to eat food or drink water. On the fifth day, I thought, if I can't get any water down and keep it down, I'm in real trouble. And they began to bring in traditional techniques, most of which I don't remember because I was kind of in and out of it, and hallucinating. But in the middle of the night, I remembered seeing shadows on the wall, and there were medicine men dancing. At least that's what I thought it was, and could have been dreams for all I know. But there was bones and feathers and cutting, and there was fluids flying, and I don't know what was going on, and feathers and God knows what. And the next morning, I was able to keep water down. And after I got better, I went to the teacher that I was working with, and I said, you know, did that ritual that they did that night, did that make me better? Or was I just going to get better anyway? And through the translator, he said one word. And he said to choose. He said to choose. And just being able to honestly choose in the moment what's really true for me, what's really my truth right now, has made all the difference in the world.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. And just, I'll go just a pinch further with that. In the sense of the discomfort and the life force that lives in it. The easiest way that I can maybe explain it is maybe when a woman gives childbirth, there's a lot of discomfort, most women, in that birthing process. But also in that process, there is probably no other force greater, life force, than the birth of a child. So we can imagine our own processes, our own emotional psyche processes, carrying that same kind of energy. And that it's in that depth, it's in that pain, we see the light. It's in through the cave, you'll come out into the light. But you have to go into the cave.
I do believe we have one more question on the phone. We have Marie-Louise, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for your patience. You have patience. You have a question.
Thank you so much for what has been spoken and come out of this evening. It's so beautiful. I thank you. So I have this question. I'm about 70, and I have developed cataracts, and I very much go by the things you speak of in the way of healing. However, I don't seem to have been able to heal these cataracts, and I live in this so-called United States of America, and it's very hard to live here without driving a car. I guess I could say, well, I can't see anymore, so I stay put. But I'm wondering about something like this in the native wisdom, what you would say, because it seems that The only thing I can hear of is have surgery and remove the cataracts.
In a traditional community, I don't mean to make fun, but in a traditional community, there would be tons of youngsters trying to fight each other to come and drive you around. I know that sounds crazy, but you know that's what communities are for. They'd be finding ways to take you. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, Bruce, are you there? What I'm going to start with is, and I say this to many people when they come to see me, is that just because you have cataracts doesn't mean you're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can't see doesn't mean you're being punished. Some of my most challenged clients are those that come to see me. I haven't eaten organic foods for the last 40 years. Yoga class 5 days a week. Meditation every morning for 2 hours. Happy marriage. Fancy, you know, nice car. Everything's right. Money in the bank. And they come to see me and they say, David, I got breast cancer. Why? I've done everything right. And I say to them, there are no guarantees. We are all have weak links. And just because you might be having cataracts, even though you might be suffering from his ailment, first thing I want you to know, it doesn't mean that you're being punished or that you're doing something wrong.
Absolutely.
And it begins there. And so there's a certain self-acceptance in that process. In other words, the cataract is not the enemy. I talk endlessly that the ailment is not the enemy, but it's an invitation into seeing something that maybe you haven't seen before. And so I'd say to you, just from this little that we know each other over the telephone here, the first thing I'd say to you, what is it that you're trying to see? Mm-hmm. You're in your 70s. What is it? Is it the grandchildren? What is it that you're longing for? And that's how I'd start approaching you. And I'd want to come from that place. I'd say, when was the last time you gave the gratitude to the ancestors? When was the last time you went did your prayers at the, you know, for the elders? That's where I would start. What is it that you still need to see? There's something. What is that? And you'd have to tell me, because I don't know. But I can sense it.
Thank you very much for that question, caller, and David, for that answer. I think that we do need to wrap up this question and answer session. David wanted to speak very much about something that's of great concern to him, and that is that traditional medicine is being outlawed in the European Union. So, David, maybe
you could
address our audience.
Yeah, I belong to a Chinese medicine network, and in that I receive emails from them, and I just recently received this from Ireland from Phil Rogers. And I want to share this with you because it's headed this way. It's headed toward the Americas. Dear clan, friends, and colleagues, if you do not live in the European Union or if you signed the petition, please ignore this mail, but please consider forwarding this to your friends within the European Union and those who value freedom of choice and the use of complementary medicine and health supplements. As from April 30th, 2011, European Union legislation will ban the sale and use of unlicensed herbal, homeopathic, and other natural medicines within Europe. Importation, possession, sale, or dispensing of unlicensed medicines or health supplements to clients or patients will be criminalized. On conviction or indictment for breaching this directive, such criminals will face severe fines, including imprisonment for up to 3 years. A petition has been launched to allow European citizens who want freedom of choice in their use of complementary medicines and supplements to appeal to the European authorities to amend this legislation to allow such freedom. You can sign the petition at SaveNaturalHealth.org savenaturalhealth.eu/sign.php. Again, savenaturalhealth.eu/sign.php. As background, please see the video from Save Natural Health. Basically, Big Pharma, with multi-billion annual sales, wants to eliminate all competition from complementary and herbal medicines. If you want freedom of choice, please sign the petition immediately at Save Natural Health and pass the word on to stop unelected bureaucrats from allowing Big Pharma, big pharmacies, corporations to monopolize the sale of remedies and health supplements within the European Union. And just for your information, for those of us who live in the Americas, Europe is always one day ahead of us in more ways than one.
Yeah, we are going to be running out of time here. I guess, David, before we close the show, you wanted to thank some people for their support and their love.
Yeah, I want to thank all of you who came here and took some time out of your busy schedules to come and support this. So first off, my hats to all of you. Yeah. I want to also thank, we had some special sponsors who are helping pay for this program. ShopNaturallyStoke.com. That's S-H-O-P dot NaturallyStoke.com. An online emporium of all things meaty with an impressive stock for the discerning carnivore. You can reach them at 510-562-1156. Want to thank Runka.com, an online green company offering natural, organic, eco-friendly products that are made with renewable resources and ingredients by companies that use fair trade practices. Runka.com, R-U-N-K-A. Michelle Matlin, CPA, Small Business Individual and Torque Trust Assistance, Maximizing Income, Minimizing Taxes, 925-937-4829. Natural Life Foods, dedicated to customer service with a full line of vitamins, herbs, and nutritional supplements. 2638 Pleasant Hill Road, Pleasant Hill. Flower Child, event design, planning, and flower arrangements. Email flowerchildsf@gmail.com. Sage Lounge, Soma's new Wi-Fi cafe, serving breakfast and lunch, microbrews and wines from around the world. 1601 Howard, San Francisco. And also our musicians, Zef Zet Train, Ron San Miguel.
Thank you, everybody. I want to thank our engineers, Pepe tonight, Dev Ross for helping with Dennis Banks, and we will be turning it over to Miguel Molina. I want you to stay tuned for the next Traditional Healers Forum from the Four Corners of the World. That's July 22nd here at La Onda, May 10, and we'll be talking about diabetes and food as medicine. If you'd like to talk to David or contact him, you can visit www.livingmedicines.com or go to the Living Medicines Traditional Healing Clinic and Herbal Apothecary at 85 Bolinas Road, Fairfax, California. Once again, www.livingmedicines.com. This is La Brava. Thank you very much for being here. And now back to Miguel Molina.
And I'd just like to thank both David Kukula and Norma La Brava for bringing this incredibly interesting and informative and knowledgeable program, not only to our listeners, but to the world. A Traditional Healers Forum from the Four Corners of the World, and all the guests and everybody involved with this effort tonight. I'd like to thank my media crew, La Brava, Pedro Pepe Reyes, Jose Alacran Gutierrez, and also Falcón and La Gigos.